You guys realize, regards to a Sunday morning, this is the first time we've worshipped inside since March 8th of 2020. Yeah. Pretty wild, pretty cool. It's pretty awesome to be back in here. I just want to welcome all of you guys. Welcome you to senior high. Some of you were like, "What is senior high?" This is my first time here. This is the senior high, the high school student ministry of Reston Bible Church. We come here. This is Sunday mornings. To hear God's word, to be together, teaching, table time, be with leaders, be with each other. We do Wednesday nights, which is, like I was just talking about that, starts September 1st. That's our small group time. It's where we go from here, which is really big, to a lot smaller in homes. We talk about the Sunday morning message. You're going to have an adult leader who genuinely cares for you. Oh, we have a best staff here. I love them. And they're going to pour into you. Some of you are like, what's this big gap thing mean? Well, the name of senior high is the gap. And that's talking about in Ezekiel that we stand in the gap. We stand in the gap in multiple ways. We come as Christians to stand in the gap for our friends who don't know Christ, that we want to help bridge that gap for them and tell them about Jesus. We stand in the gap for those even in this room that might be struggling. We hope standing in the gap to bring them back to Christ. So that's what standing in the gap is all about. So today we are in our last part of the series in Back to the Basics. And I'll give you a real fast review. Let's see if our clicker works. The battle in our mind, that was John Fletcher. He talked about the battle in our mind. How do we deal with anxiety, some of the spiritual battle that takes place. And then Danny talked about time management from a biblical perspective. How do we use our time? Then Pastor Mike came. Pastor Mike Minner was here last week and talked about God's word as the source of life, needing God's word every day of our lives and how it directs us to truth. And then today, I'm going to talk about relationships. Relationships are the core to life with God and people. And the big reason I want to talk about this, especially this last one, is because I think a lot of you guys, you're about to head back to school next week, and you're, just to be honest, I think kind of scared, kind of anxious about going back to school in person and everything that's there. So I'm hoping today we'll equip you with some truth from God's word and how to go back to school and deal with relationships. The reality is, we're going to talk about this more, we are meant for relationships. That is how God has designed us to be. So I want you to discuss this question at your table not real long ago. Are you excited or apprehensive about returning to relationships in person at school? Talk about it at your table. Okay, quick poll. So we can just kind of see where each other are in life. If you're excited about going back to school and the relationships there, stand up. Okay, all right. Why are all you guys sit at the same tables together? This is kind of weird. Okay, sit down. If you're anxious about going back to school and the relationships, stand up. Okay, all right, you can sit down. Thank you for being honest about that. How many of you were just scared to stand up? Stand up. Okay, so those are the scared to stand up people. How many of you are ambivalent? Because we need to talk about this. You can't just be ambivalent about these things. How many of you are actually just in the middle? You're like one way or the other, stand up. Okay, so there's a lot of you just kind of like in the middle. Okay, all right. You can sit down. Thanks. Just kind of wanted to see where we're at. It's kind of, I don't know if you've ever thought about this before. I think you've probably kind of thought about it, but I'm not sure how deeply you've thought about it. Like, we all have a really, I don't care who you are, introvert, extrovert, doesn't matter. Like, we all have this deep desire and longing to be connected with people, to be known, and to have relationships. Like, honestly, I don't think there's anything better on this earth apart from salvation, which is both on this earth and eternal. I don't think there's anything better on this earth than a good friend. Like, if you've experienced a good friend that you are just connected with at a deeper level, they know you, they know totally who you are, and they are still friends with you, there's nothing better than that. Think about this. Think of your greatest memories that you have in life. Don't they all involve someone, a friend? I doubt that there's anybody that has a greatest memory here that doesn't involve a person in some way. Now also think about this. Think about some of your worst memories and the hardest things you've ever gone through. I would be sure they involve people and relationships. So the need for relationships is both a great benefit and both a great harm at the same time. Because think about this. The benefit is I'm meant to be in relationship. I can be encouraged. I have someone to walk through life with me. We can have fun. We can cry together. We can be encouraged together. We can do things together. So there's a lot of great benefits, but there's also a lot of great harm that can come from friendships and relationships. I can be hurt by my friends. I can hurt them. I can be peer pressured into sin, even though I don't want to. So we have this great longing to be connected. And this starts at a really young age. So check this video out real quick.
We might get a play date. End of the day. Keep skiing until I call you.
Oh,
let's go! We'll get a play date!
His mom is going to pick me up and then what? Take us to Woodward, but I don't have my pants.
It doesn't matter. You're still coming. Let's go! We might get a play date.
All right, you can stop it there. Right? Like, this, from that young of an age, we have this desire to be connected, to do things with people. My son is going to be going to kindergarten this year. Crazy. I don't know why you're clapping. I feel sorry for his teacher. I'm like, dude, I feel sorry for you, right? So we have this great need for friendships. Let me share with you today's main point of this message. The friends you choose will determine the direction and quality of your life. Without a doubt. How do I know this? And that's a fill in the blank on the top of your sheet. The friends you choose will determine the direction and quality of your life. How do I know this? Look at Proverbs 13:20. This is our main verse for today, our key verse. Whoever walks with the wise becomes wise, but the companion of fools will suffer harm. Now, think about this. If you're in Fairfax County Public Schools, raise your hand if you're in Fairfax County Public Schools. Okay, you go back to person tomorrow. Is that in person tomorrow, right? Okay, so this is the first time you have been back in person, I believe, since March 13th of 2020. That is 17 months, 1 year and 5 months, approximately 510 days. And for Loudoun County Public Schools, you head back Thursday. And I said this before. I know there are a lot of you that are anxious about going back to school, and there's a lot of fear creeping in. Here's a couple questions that I think might be going through your mind. What about the people that I talked to only in school before the pandemic? Like, what is our relationship going to be like now? Like, we were kind of friends then. We talked a lot in class, but we haven't talked for a year and a half or more. Like, what's that going to be like? Some of you might be like, is it just going to be awkward going back? Like, what's it going to be like? Some of you might be asking, man, am I going to go back to the same friend group that was a bad influence on me, and I'm going to get trapped in the same sin as before? Like, these are some of the questions that are going through your head. But listen to this. As you go back to school next week, you have an opportunity. You have an opportunity, a really unique opportunity, to start fresh and to make changes that will impact your life both now and in the future. And so look, some of the fears and the concerns you have, they're legitimate. I think they're real. You're really thinking through them. But I do believe that God's word has something to say to you today about friendships. So I want to give you five truths from God's word about relationships and friendships as you head back to school. Here's the first one. I am meant for relationships. I am meant for relationships. 100% of all people are created for and need relationships. Here's what Genesis 2:18 says. Then the Lord God said, it's not good that man should be alone. I will make him a helper suitable, fit for him. Now, you got to understand how key this verse is to understanding how we at our core, at who we are, need relationships. And the reason being is, this is really interesting. God said it was not good for Adam to be alone. This is before sin has ever entered the world. And it wasn't a sin for Adam to be alone. God just said, it is not good that he is alone. If you go back to Genesis and you went to verse 4, God says the light was good. If you go to verse 10, God says the earth was good. He made it and it was good. God says he creates the trees and the flowers and he said it was good. Verses 18, God says he creates the day and the night. It was good. Chapter 1, verse 21, God creates the birds and the sea creatures and he said it was good. Verse 25, he creates all the land animals. He said it was good. And then he creates Adam and he goes, it is not good that he would be alone. Adam, here's what it says. If I can go to the next verse. Can you click the next one for me? Chapter 2, verse 20, it says, Adam gives names to all the livestock and to all the birds of the heavens and to every beast of the field. But for Adam, there was not found a helper suitable for him. So picture this. Adam's going through. He's naming all the animals, all the birds, all the sea creatures. He's naming them all. And he realizes after he names them all, he realizes, there's no one for me. There's none like me. This is the first time Adam realizes his solitude. He realizes I'm alone. And God recognizes and he says, you need someone to be with. You need a friend. You need a relationship. It is not good for a man to be alone. And that has never changed for us. We have this necessary part of us that desires and needs relationship. And so in chapter 2, 21 through 23, it talks about how God makes Eve for Adam, this suitable helper. We have the first relationship. We also have the first marriage. So understanding how deep our need for relationship and how God created us for relationship, the reason that's so important to understand from a biblical perspective, because God's our creator, is because when we realize how much of a need we have for relationships, we also realize then how important the friendships and relationships in our lives are. If we are created for that, then who is our friends and who are the relationships in our lives becomes so important. It helps us to realize how much our friends will influence us for good or for bad. So this really leads me to my next point, which is this. My friends influence me. Seems so simple, but write it down. My friends influence me. Here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to turn you to your table to answer this question. What are the top five people that influence your decisions and actions? Take about 4 minutes at your table to talk about that. Okay, all right. I wanted you to start thinking about this so you could think about who are the people that are influencing you. So this verse, Proverbs 13:20, whoever walks with the wise becomes wise, but the companion of fools will suffer harm. This verse really talks about, man, if you walk with the wise, if you walk with those that are trying to follow Christ and are living wisely, you're going to become wise. But the companion or the friend of fools will suffer harm. We're going to talk about this in a minute, but the reality with this will suffer harm, both of these don't say, oh, it might just happen. It says this will happen. If you walk with the wise, you will be wise. If you walk with fools, you will suffer harm. So the friends you choose will determine the direction and quality of your life. I become who I hang around. Think about the friends that you have. I would venture to guess you dress a lot like them. We just do. It's kind of weird when you think about it, and everybody feels awkward because they just looked at their friend across the table and like, you dress like me. But maybe not today, but other days you dress the same. So you become like who you hang around, whether it's the way you dress, whether it's the way that you talk, the things that you do, you become like the people you hang around. Now, okay, I've asked you to like stand up for a lot of things today, but I think it helps us to kind of see where we are sometimes. So, got a question for you. Have you ever temporarily, I think this is actually a question, have you ever temporarily abandoned a moral biblical conviction because a friend or someone around you was urging or pressuring you to do something that was wrong? If you've ever done that, stand up. I'm standing up. I've done it. Okay, you can sit down. Okay, how about this? Have you ever done something? And I'm just going to put this as a really broad term, okay? Have you ever done something that was related to church or a God thing that you did, you didn't really want to do, but you did because a friend encouraged you to do it. If you've ever done that, stand up. Yeah. All right, you can sit down. What it, guys, like, I should be able to stop right here and you to understand the massive influence that your friends have on you. Our friends have a massive influence on us. Guess what? The crazy thing is now, what my friends, what the people around me post on social media has an influence on me. I begin feeling the pressure and need to agree with what they put on there, even if it goes against what I believe is morally right, biblically right, a conviction that I have or my parents told me is right, because there's this pressure now with social media. I've got to post something. I've got to agree with this. My question is, who has more of an influence on you, your friends or the Lord? I have to ask myself that question. Who has more of an influence on me? So look at this. There's a promise and a consequence in this verse, our main verse. There's a promise and a consequence here. The promise is, "Who, if you walk with the wise, you will become wise." The warning is, if you become friends with fools, you will suffer harm. So let's talk about this. I'm going to go through one chapter in Proverbs and tell you the benefits of walking with the wise and becoming wise. Okay, Proverbs 3, 1. Here's the promise. If you walk with the wise, you become wise. And the consequence is, if you can go to the next one. I'm going to open up with me to Proverbs chapter 3. Go to Proverbs. You got your Bible. You got to start bringing this paper thing. Proverbs chapter 3. Okay, I got them up there too. Okay, if you look at verse 1 says, "My son, do not forget my teaching, but let your heart keep my commandments." Now, this is Solomon writing to his son. He's the wisest man. The Bible says he was the wisest man in the whole world. So he's writing it to his son, wisdom. He says, "Don't forget my wisdom, my teaching, my commandments." He says, "For length of days and years of life and peace, they will add to you." He says, if you keep them, if you make them a conviction in your life, if you walk with the wise and live wisely, literally saying length of days and years of life and peace will be added to you. Wisdom in Proverbs doesn't guarantee that 100% of this will always happen to you. But the reality is, if you walk with people that are trying to live wisely, there's a chance that your lifespan is actually longer. I've done some things and hung out with some people that I think actually shortened my lifespan because they were stupid. And some of you have done stupid things because you wanted to be cool. Now Proverbs 3:4. If you can go to the next one. Proverbs 3:4 says, "So you will find favor and good success in the sight of God and man." Guys, there is a practical wisdom that if you are seeking to walk with the wise, you will become wise. And guess what happens? You will have favor in the sight of people around you. The adults around you, the leaders around you, your friends around you. You will have favor with them. Instead of it feeling like everybody, I hear that so much. My teacher's against me. This person's against me. My coach is against me. Is there a legitimate reason sometimes? Yes. But a lot of times, if you begin some of the respect to them, trying to work hard and do those things, you will gain favor in the sight of man. Go to next one. Proverbs 3, 9 and 10. "Honor the Lord with all your wealth and with the first fruits of your produce. Then your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will be bursting with wine." If you follow the practical wisdom and walk with those who are wise, and follow God's advice on financial matters. God says there's a point where you won't be poor. Again, this isn't 100% promise, but Proverbs brings out these practical wisdom that God is giving as you walk wisely. Lastly, go to 23 and 26. Go one more over. Then you will walk on your way securely and your foot will not stumble. If you lie down, you will not be afraid. When you lie down, your sleep will be sweet. Man, the reality to not be is to know where your life is headed, to know that you have security because you're walking wisely. Money can't buy that. But it says when you walk with those who are wise, you will be wise. All of these things can be yours if you choose to walk with those who walk wisely. Now I want to show you a chart. Okay, this is to help you understand, I think, kind of how our friendships should look. I didn't make this up. Someone else did. The inside circle is a circle of intimacy. I would say this is one to three of your closest friends who heavily influence you. Eventually, this would be someone that you would date and get married. But right now, it's your best friends. It's just one to three of them. It's not your best five. It's one to three. These are the people that you go to with your issues, what's going on. These are the people that heavily influence you. The next ring, I'm calling the circle of influence. And that is, this, I would say, a group of about 4 to 10 of your friends who you're also really closely connected to. Usually they're closely connected to your inner circle of friends, the circle of intimacy. They have an influence on you, both positive and negative. Same with the circle of intimacy. But they're just a little bit further out in the ring. They don't have as heavy of an influence, but it's about 4 to 10 people, I'd say. And then lastly, I'm going to call it the circle of concern. These are the people in your life that the goal is you're like, I want to be reaching out to them, but they cannot influence you. They could be Christians. They could be those that are non-Christians. These are the people that you hope to influence for the gospel. This, I think this is a lot of what the friendships in your life should, Lord willing, they do look like. But the goal is you want those in the middle and the closest rings to be influencing you towards walking your faith out. See, the people closest to me influence me the most. There was a student here, this is a few years back, that I would say was not walking closely with the Lord. Probably the people in his circle of intimacy were not moving him towards the Lord. He goes on a mission trip with us and just saw God just radically change his life. This is a guy that I would see on Sunday mornings. That was it. He would sit to the side. He would never do anything. All of a sudden, come back. And this guy's, he's coming to all the Sunday night shepherd groups. He's coming to any activity we had. And you know why? It's because he had met Christ, and the people that were most closely influencing his life were those that wanted to follow Christ. And guess what? That had an influence on him. The people closest to us are the ones that influence me the most. And so the opposite side of this and the consequence to this is, the warning is, if you become friends with fools, you will suffer harm. I know some of you say this, and I've said the same thing. I don't want to be who they are. If people are negative influence on you, you might be like, I don't want to be who they are. I don't want to do what they do. I just want to be where they are. That's what we'll say. When we know someone's not a good influence on us, but we want to be accepted by them, what do? I don't want to be where they are. I don't want to be who they are. I just want to be where they are. That's like saying this. I don't drink, I just go to parties. I mean, we really boil it down. And that's saying, if I walk with the fool, I will suffer harm because I have placed myself around them to be influence. I will say this, the people in the circle of intimacy absolutely need to be followers of Christ. They need to point you to Christ. I need that in my life. Every leader in this group needs that in their life. And so do you. Your friends influence you. Therefore, who you allow closest to you will influence you for better or worse. All right, I'm running late on time, but I do want you to talk about this question, and it's this. Do you realize how much your friends influence you? Explain your answer. You got about 3 minutes. Go ahead. All right, I know I didn't give you enough time, but you got to talk a little bit. Okay, truth number one was I'm meant for relationships. So like at my core, I'm meant for relationships. Truth number two is my friends influence me. And truth number three is going to seem ridiculously simple. Okay, but here it is. I can choose my friends. But this is how most of us look at friendship. Friends are so weird. You just pick a human you met and you're like, yep, I like this one. And you just do stuff with them. Like, that's honestly how most of us view friendship, isn't it? Like, my son's going to go to kindergarten. He's going to look at another dude that's doing something stupid. He's going to be like, we do stupid stuff together. Let's be friends. Like, friendship is weird. And most of us live like this. But here's the thing. We live like we've freely chosen our friends. That's what I did all through high school. But really, the reality was, actually, where the people that became my friends were kind of the people that I just kind of gravitated towards. Because one, maybe I was a little bit like them, but two, I'm going to tell you the number as to why the friends, for better or worse, that you do. If you want to write one thing down, this is it. You go where you are accepted. you absolutely know where you feel like you're accepted. In high school, some of my friends had the same interests. By them, they liked me. I liked them. And most of them were negative influences on me, and I was negative influence on them. Then I got to college, and some of the people that they still had the same interest as me, but all of a sudden it became like, well, do they have a spiritual desire? Are they people of character? Where are they trying to go in life? I actually started asking these questions in my head. I didn't totally realize I was doing it, but all of a sudden I was like, I knew what I had in high school. I'm like, I want to do something different. And I realized, do these people actually encourage me in my faith? These are the people that I want to be friends with. And I believe God got a hold of my life in college, and the reason being is a big part is because the friends that I chose. Acceptance is the number one influence of why you choose friends. I've seen this at summer camp. Some of you came to summer camp and you're like, I didn't really know anybody. And then you're like, that person kind of is like me. They accept me. We're friends now. Sometimes I'm like, that's the weirdest friendship I've ever seen. I would have never guessed you would have been friends, but you found each other and you're like, let's do stuff together. Here's what some of you think, just so you can understand a full circle of what this is. Some of you are like, I got bad influences. If I just move away from the bad influences, then I'll make new friends. I've seen this work 1% of the time. And the reason being is because what happens is you go where you are and you just naturally gravitate to where you're accepted. And sometimes you'll feel like you're only accepted with people that you feel like are negative influences, but you feel like you'll only be accepted there, so you'll go there. But that's what you feel like. It's not what's truth. You can choose the friends. What we need to happen is a new way of choosing friends, a conscious choice you make to choose friends that are wise, which is exactly why, we're going to skip that, whoever walks with the wise will become wise, but the companion of fools will suffer harm. If you choose to walk with the wise, you will become wise. So let me give you two tips on how to choose friends. And this sounds so weird. You're like, Lee, we're in high school now. Why are you giving me tips to choose friends? Because we're starting school again, okay? Number one, this is going to sound weird, but observe them. I think I put this on here. Observe them from a distance. Okay. Let me explain, you freaks. Give me a second. Okay. Shh. Listen real quick, because we're gonna close here in just a minute. Tip number one is observe them from a distance. And this doesn't need to be weird. What I mean by that is look at their life. Look at the decisions that they make, the words that they say, the things that they do, how they treat their parents, what they say about their parents, what they put on social media. You can be friends with them and observe them from a distance, and don't let them influence you. That's what I'm saying. Don't allow them to get into that circle of influence or that circle of intimacy. Be friends with them, but keep them at that distance that they don't begin influencing you until you see what is their life really all about. Tip number two is, wise friends may not be the people I think I connect with the best. Some of you are like, no one cool is a Christian. And I'm like, okay. One of the dudes that is one of my best friends is so unlike me. So unlike me. Not athletic. I'm a little bit athletic. He doesn't care about sports. He would tell you he's not athletic. He doesn't care about many of the same things. But guess what? He wanted to follow Jesus. And so I'm like, dude, why would I not bring this guy into my sphere of influence? And he became one of my best friends and still is one of my best friends. So wise people may not be the people you initially connect with, but when you realize that they want to follow Jesus and they have a good influence in your life, you find that as a common ground and they can become some of your best friends. So one caution is this: when we're living in sin, we don't want to be around those who are living for the Lord. When we're living in sin, we don't want to be around those that are living for the Lord. And so even though we don't feel like we could be accepted by those that are walking with the Lord, there are some of you in this room right now that are like, I know I'm not really doing well in my faith. I don't really feel that accepted in this group. I come here Sunday mornings. That's pretty much it. I don't feel accepted by the people here. Well, I got two things. Those that are living for the Lord right now, not perfectly, but you're desiring to follow after Jesus, you're desiring to walk wisely, will you make an intentional choice to look to those that might feel like they're on the outside? And engage with them, not out of pity, but out of like, you're my brother and sister in Christ. And for those who you'd be like, I'm not close with the Lord, will you make an intentional choice to say, look, I want to choose friends that are walking wisely? And so what do you do with those? If you're going back to school and you're like, I know I'm going back to a circle of friends that's a negative influence. I'm not going to lie. Change needs to happen. And it might be hard. And there's no way to get around it. But I hope I can give you one practical tip here. One question is, do you believe it's worth it? Do you want to walk with the wise? Because remember, the friends you choose will determine the direction and quality of your life. Here's the practical way to begin doing that. Some of you are like, I just can't leave all my friends. I won't have any friends. Do this. Adjust the amount of time you spend with those who are not a godly influence on you. This allows you to have more control of the relationship. Some of you are just like, I'm just going to hang out with those people all the time. Well, they begin having a huge influence on you. Begin saying, how do I start adjusting the time that I spend with those who do not have a good influence on me? So going back to school this week, you have the choice to create a new circle of influence in your life. Walk with the wise and become wise. Or walk with the fools and suffer harm. I don't have time. Things went late. But the last two, one is, truth number four is I influence my friends. And I do just want to, I just want to share this as I look at the one about, truth number four is I influence my friends. I hate when this clicker, like, can you skip over one? Go one more. There we go. Senior high mission statement. Full send it and everything. And as we full send it, we discover God and we engage people. See, the reality is not God's meant you for relationships. Your friends influence you and you can choose your friends. But guess what? You can have an influence on your friends too. You can have an influence on your friends too. That's what God says. He wants you to discover him and then engage people. God wants you to engage the people around you this year with his love, with his truth, with the message of Christ that changes. And lastly, it's this, and I wish I would have got further into it, but tip number five is there. Truth number five is this. Friends will let me down, but my friendship with Jesus will always remain. And I know some of you are like, that's so weird, a friendship with Jesus. And I could have put relationship, but Jesus does say, I now call you my friends. And so we actually have a friendship with Christ. Let me share this last truth with you, and then we're going to close. If you choose the best friends in the world that walk wisely, who are really seeking to walk faithfully with Jesus, guess what? They will still let you down. And even if you're walking with Jesus faithfully, you will let people down. And that's why I say the friendship and the relationship that we have with Christ will never let us down. And all of our relationships and all of our friendships should flow from our relationship with Christ as we pursue him. If you have never began a relationship with Jesus, and he's like, I came to this earth because I loved you so much, because I knew that there was no way that you could pay for this done. And God's like, I want to be in relationship with you so much that I will send Jesus to die for you. And just all through the Bible, we read, it just says, will you believe? Will you take that gift that God's given you of Jesus dying on the cross for you and believe? And it is from that point that the Holy Spirit begins living in you and he says, you're a new creation. I've made you new. If you've never believed that, I would encourage you to believe that today, to trust that today. So, let me pray. We got one last thing after this. Lord God, I pray that, God, your word is spoken on truth and on this idea of friendship. And I pray for students as they are heading back to school that they will make wise choices and walk with the wise and see how that changes your life. Pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen.